I also have a soft spot for Chad Michael Murray. I think he's a great actor. And
you really surprised me with that.
Welcome back to Qualifiedish, the bi-weekly podcast that talks all about movies and TV shows created by qualified creators, but hosted by an unqualified lover of film. I am your host, Kira Menaise. This week, I'm joined by my sister, Evelyn Menaise. Evelyn is currently a practicing attorney at a local estate planning firm here in California. Evelyn has always been a lover of romantic comedies, so today we are here to discuss rom-coms, from our favorite movies to more classic ones. Thank you, Evelyn, for joining me today on this episode, the first episode of the season. I'm really excited that you're finally on this.
Me too. Thanks for having me and thanks for taking my idea. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, it's perfect because at this point, Valentine's Day is like in a week-ish, like 10 days from then. So this is a perfect episode. And today we're going to be talking a little bit about romantic comedies and why we like them and what we like about them. So I'm going to start out with our first three questions that I ask every guest, which is, what is your favorite TV show?
Well, you know the answer to this question.
Gilmore Girls.
It is Gilmore Girls. It's my favorite show. I can watch it again and again. I don't get tired of it. There are some things, you know, I'm not saying it's a perfect show, but it's my favorite show. I think it's wholesome and hearty and also very real in some ways, so yeah, I'm attached.
Very, very reliable.
Yes, yeah, it's reliable. It's a good show. I like that it's witty, mm-hmm. which you'll see is like a theme of shows that I like. But yeah, I love it.
Okay, and what about your favorite movie?
Oh, you know, I always go back to The Sound of Music. Mm-hmm. I think it has some nostalgia, you know, some nostalgic value for me. As a movie that we used to watch as a family a lot when it was like playing on ABC Family back in the day. And I love musicals, and the storyline is also just very good. And I also really like movies and shows that are based on reality. So the fact that it's based around the Holocaust, you know, pre-Holocaust is obviously really sad. Like, it's a sad premise. But at the same time, it's really inspiring that they're able to flee. And I just love the music. The music is really good. And yeah. And who doesn't love Julie Andrews? Early Julie Andrews. Right. Julie Andrews at any time is great.
And if you wish you created one film or TV series, which would it be?
Okay, so I thought about this. I think Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. Mm. Which is the same creator as Gilmore Girls, by the way. But I think I just really love how, like I said, witty the writing is, but also that show in particular, I love that it's kind of like a period piece, you know, it's based in like the 60s, I think. The fashion is good. And I also just really love that, like, even though it's based in that period, it's still kind of about like female empowerment. Mm-hmm. And it's about Midge kind of defying the odds that are based around her gender. So, I don't know. It's really interesting. It's a very unique show. The writing is very good. And I just love Midge. I think she's so great. And I wish she existed in real life. Like, I sometimes forget that she's wasn't, like, a real life person.
Mm-hmm. And this is Amazon Prime, right?
Yeah, this is on Amazon Prime. They just, like, this third season is out and they're filming the fourth.
That's exciting.
I'm excited. It's really it's really good. The acting is good. Like, the fashion, the music, everything about it is really good. And like I said, the witty, smart humor I really like.
Yeah. It's on the up and up. Everyone likes that one. I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, so good.
Moving on to our topic today, which is rom-coms. So, I know that it's one of your favorite genres.
Yeah.
So why? Why, what makes it one of your favorite genres?
Over time, I've become one of those people who just likes to watch shows and movies that make me feel good. Like, at the end of a day, a long day, I'm not really wanting to watch something that's going to hurt my brain. Obviously, I'm not always like that, but just in general. So a rom-com kind of has the best of both. I like romance. I like comedy. Them together just makes me happy. Sometimes I do really want, like, a super cheesy rom-com, but I like rom-coms too because a lot of them can be really smart and really interesting and have good storylines. So I know that we kind of differ in this regard, and like a lot of people in my life, a lot of people I'm close to don't like rom-coms. So I actually don't really watch a lot of them with like you or our brother or even like my fiance. Like, we don't really watch a lot of them together just because I'm kind of like the person who just wants to, like, you know, be, I don't want to think a lot when I'm watching. And so that's the benefit that rom-coms provide me. And I like to feel happy at the end of watching something. I just want to feel good, you know?
Yeah. I feel like, I mean, there's always a time and place for something. And sometimes that's how I feel about this. Mm-hmm. But there's also a time and place for, like, what I like to watch. And I always like to watch, like, what I like to watch. So what you like to watch, rom-coms, there's a time and place for. And psychological stuff, there's a time and place for you to watch those, right?
Yeah. I'm not saying I don't like those
things. No, I'm just saying, like, it's funny because, like, I mean, I like to watch them, but I don't always like to watch them. And it has to be very specific. Like, I don't like it to be too cheesy.
Yeah.
But, I mean, like, there are times where, like, I'll watch it, but I don't love it. It's definitely, like, a time and place thing for me, but It's they're always fun. That's the one thing, is they're always fun to watch, and there's a lot of classics that everyone likes to watch. So yeah,
that was something I forgot to say too, is like another reason why I like to watch it is I think there's a nostalgia factor for me. I definitely am a person who likes to go back to my roots and likes to watch traditional things. Like, obviously by my answers to the first three questions, right? Yeah. Like, I nostalgia makes me feel good. And so, like you said, there are a lot of kind of rom-com classics, if you will. And I like to watch those, like, kind of rom-com oldies. They make me feel, like, I like kind of transporting back to, like, the 80s or 90s, you know, going back to the fashion. You know, I'm not even talking about rom-coms that I watched when I was younger, but also rom-coms that maybe were around before I was born. I don't know, I kind of like watching those as well. Yeah, the nostalgia factor is big for me.
Okay, and what are some of your favorite movies?
Oh, gosh. Okay, so I was trying to, like, categorize them before this, and I was going to say, like, I have some oldies that I like, and then I have some new ones that I like, but they kind of, like, meld together for me. So when I think about, like, the oldies, I'm thinking, like, You've Got Mail,
mm-hmm.
and, like, Sleepless in Seattle is, like, one of my favorites. Yeah. I think Meg Ryan is just a rom-com queen, and anything with Julia Roberts.
She had a lot of good ones.
And then I started getting confused about what's an old one and what's a new one,
right?
Because, like, the 90s is kind of like a middle ground, so, like, J-Lo has some good ones that I really like the like Made in Manhattan,
The Wedding Planner
is a really good one. And then, like, some of the newer ones that I like, I don't even know if it counts as newer, right? Like, 27 Dresses.
I wrote that one down.
It's one of my favorites.
It's really good, yeah.
I can watch it again and again, and it is cheesy, but, like, why? It's so good. Why is it so good? And, like, 13 Going on 30.
Yeah, everyone loves that.
It's, oh my god, like, it's amazing. And then, like, newer ones, I would say. Does The Big Sick count?
Mm-hmm, it does.
Yeah.
It's ranked really high right now. I looked it up.
It's good. It's sad, but it's, like,
it's a good one, yeah.
It's a good one, like, mid-2000s and prior. You know, 2010, you're kind of, like, is like the cap for me. Like, those are some of my favorite ones. Oh, and I have to say, Princess Diaries 2.
Oh, yeah.
Is probably my favorite.
I like the first one, too.
Yeah, yeah. But I will say that, like, Princess Diaries 1, I wouldn't really classify as a rom-com.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like the romantic part of Princess Diaries 2 is stronger than Princess Diaries 1.
It's the enemies to lovers thing.
Yes, yeah. It's a very classic, you know, trope. But yeah, those are some of my favorites. And then, yeah, I was also thinking, like, I was trying to think, like, okay, what are some of the older rom-coms that I really like? And, like, do Audrey Hepburn movies count?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, like, so I think back about, like, Breakfast at Tiffany's. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, like, those are, they're kind of, like, silly movies, but there's romance in them. And, you know, like, I kind of like that classic, very simple, like, romance feel of those movies as well. So I would say those are some of my favorites, like that Audrey Hepburn time, like I said, Meg Ryan, Julia Roberts, and 27 Dresses might be like my all-time
it's favorite. That one's really entertaining. Like, it's not that cheesy. It, I mean, it is, but like, it's not like crazy cheesy like other ones. Mm-hmm. And I just think it's really funny. That's what makes it good. And I think the two main characters, like, they're really well casted. I think they're really good actors. Mm-hmm. So it makes it really enjoyable, and they had good chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
My favorite rom-coms, I have a range. It goes from The Princess Bride, which is like, ooh, what, like 60s, 70s?
Yes.
It's like probably one of the first ones I watched. Mm-hmm. And it's very like, there's like action and stuff in it. It's not like just gushy, which I like.
Mm-hmm.
Evelyn said the Wedding Planner. That one's like fun to watch. I like that one sometimes. I think the Jennifer Lopez ones are really good.
Mm-hmm.
And she definitely had like an era. And She's the Man, which is like,
oh, yeah,
iconic. Like, I think it's always a good one to watch because I mean, there's nothing better than that one. It's really creative too. Like,
yeah,
there's no other one that's like that where a girl dresses up as like her brother and like, It's just like a mess, but it's really fun to watch. Mm-hmm. I love that one. There's one that I watched recently. I think it's a 90s one. It's called Before Sunrise, and it's with Ethan Hawke. And I've always heard good things about it, but I had never watched it. And then I saw it was on HBO Max. So I watched it, and it's, like, really good. It's a classic. I've heard a lot of people love it, but I just got around to watching it. And it's very, like, dialogue heavy, so like not much is happening, but basically like what happens is these two people meet on a train and then they decide to spend the whole day together and then they like fall in love, and it's like really cute. I don't know, like they have like really interesting conversations. Like, it's not just like dumb stuff that happens. Like, it's purely based on the fact that they just like have a good time together.
Mm.
Which you would like that one. I don't think you've seen it.
No, I haven't seen it. It sounds good. And you know what it kind of reminds me of? I forgot to mention one. Serendipity.
Oh, I wrote that one down too, yeah.
That is underrated.
It's very good. No one talks about it.
Yeah, no one really, like, I don't know. Yeah, you're right. Nobody talks about it. I don't hear a lot of people who know about it. I think maybe I heard about it back when, you know, rom-coms were playing on, like, ABC Family, you know, like, on Saturday nights and stuff. I think. That's my guess.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, that one, oh, it's just so good. And kind of like you said about this other one.
Yeah, Before Sunrise.
Yeah, like, not really like a complex storyline, but just like the simplicity of it is really sweet.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I forgot to mention Serendipity.
Yeah, so I was going to say Serendipity. 27 Dresses. I haven't seen it in a long time, but it's always a good one.
Mm-hmm.
It's always fun. It's a funny movie. Silver Linings Playbook.
Oh my gosh.
Another one of those that's, like, not too mushy. It's, mm-hmm, like, really, like, there's a plot. Like, it's not just, like, them meeting and whatever. Like, it's, the two characters are very complex, and you learn about, like, why they are the way they are.
Mm-hmm.
And also why they're meant to be together. And that one's with Jennifer Lawrence and Bradley Cooper. Very good movie. Seen it multiple times. I really like, if we're talking, like, 2000s, another Cinderella Story with Hilary Duff.
Oh.
Is the best Cinderella story there is. I like the Selena Gomez one is okay, but I like this one a lot. I also have a soft spot for Chad Michael Murray. I think he's a great actor. And
you really surprised me with that.
No, seriously, I saw it on a list and I was like, oh, I love that movie. And he's also in One Tree Hill, and like, that's a great show. I had like an era with that. 10 Things I Hate About You.
Oh, okay.
It's like probably my favorite one, with Heath Ledger and that one amazing girl who acts and everything. Mm-hmm. I forgot her name, God. I don't know. I love that one. That one also has Joseph Gordon-Levitt. Who doesn't love him? Great guy.
Mm-hmm.
And then the one that people know that I love the most is La La Land. But this is like, I don't even know how to describe it. It's like...
Is it a rom-com?
It's a musical, and like, I think it is a rom-com.
Okay.
Because it's funny, and it's good, and it's romance, but it's not like typical romance. I don't know how to describe it. But, I don't know. Basically, I have like a history with this movie. I watched it 3 times in theaters, and I've probably seen it 5 times since. And I don't know, it just like has, like, I have a soft spot for it, and I know it's not the best movie on planet Earth, but like, it just is good. And every time I watch it, I find something new. Like, someone pointed out online that the movie is split into two, based on like one being a musical and one not, because the characters at the end start realizing that they're singing the music. In the beginning, they're not realizing that.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes me realize new things. And I don't know, I love it, and I think it's a really good looking film, which helps its case. I know people don't love it, but I love it.
It's fine. How I feel about every romantic comedy, everyone's like, oh my gosh, this one's so annoying. I'm like, well, I like it. Yeah. Okay, it makes me feel good.
Yeah. One more. I don't know why I wrote this down, but I did. Love, Rosie. I think that was like the latest, probably like one of the later ones that I watched in theaters. It's really sad. But that one has Lily Collins and, oh, what's his name from The Hunger Games? I don't remember.
I don't know.
Oh my god. I just thought of him. Anyways, but like, it's really sad, but it's a really good movie. Probably came out a couple years ago. And I watched it in theaters, but that one's one of the, like, the sad ones, but the good ones, you know, like, the ones that make you cry. But the next question is, what makes these movies good?
I was doing some research. Okay. Very, very light research to prepare for this moment. And, I came across an article in New York Times, and it was a very long article, but this guy is Wesley Morris, and he said that this genre is dedicated to normal people, quote, figuring out how to deal meaningfully with another human being. And I think that's why I like this genre, because it is dedicated to something that might be considered mundane and might be considered boring, but the reality is that we all want to be loved. We all want to find, I would say most of us want to find love, whether that is romantic or, you know, friendship, love. And when these movies are good, it really is just about, like, finding companionship. And it's something that we can all relate to. So I think, like, why do we like 27 Dresses? It's, like, about a working woman who, like, you know, we are both, you know, working women, I would say. Who has her career. She doesn't need this love to be fulfilled, and her friends are always there for her. Just like, you know, it's a healthy relationship. But in the end, she finds this great guy who she didn't think was going to be her guy. And I feel like that's why these movies are good, because it is about a human struggle that we all can relate to. And when they're good, it's not like, this love is the only thing that fulfills me. No, like, that's not how love is. That's not how love should be. But, you know, this love makes my life more, I don't know, stronger. It makes my life, you know, more beautiful in a way. And so, I don't know. I'm basically, it's a long way of saying, when romantic comedies are good, it's about something that we can all relate to, and it's done in, like, also a really creative way, like you said. Like, the good ones aren't always gushy and mushy, and they're, you know, they're kind of funny and smart. And so that's why, that's a long way of me saying. I talked for a long time. I think that's what makes some of these movies really good.
Yeah. Yeah, that's definitely it. And everyone wants to, I feel like you're lying if you don't want to watch one every now and then. Like, I don't know. To an extent, there's some comfort movies. Like, the really old ones, or not the really old ones, but, like, the 80s, like, the 90s ones, like, Pretty in Pink and stuff. Like, everyone likes those ones. And people can quote those for days. Like, everyone likes to watch them. And I think what's kind of good about them, like, with every genre, I mean, I feel like it's more with this one, but like, there's kind of range, because it goes from, like, mushy to, like, okay, maybe it's, like, enemies to lovers, and maybe it's friends to lovers, and maybe it's just, like, these two people meet, and it's really mushy, and then maybe it's just, like, you know, like, there's a lot of different things. Like, I was saying, like, if you compare Silver Linings Playbook to, I don't know, like, what's a really gushy one? Like, The Wedding Planner. Like, those are very different plots. Like, they're very different. Like, Silver Linings Playbook is more, like, it kind of, it sits on, like, the line of, like, drama. Because it is, to an extent, like, a drama. But, like, you know, it's not crazy mushy like a regular, like, Jennifer Lopez rom-com. So I think, to an extent, they kind of, there's kind of range. I mean, sometimes, like, there's less original films and it makes it kind of dumb, but there are others like Silver Linings that make it really good. So it's not always like it doesn't always have to be bad, or like bad but good kind of thing.
Right. And I think the range thing is true. Like, I think there's a lot of different ways you can take a rom-com, and some of them we consider, like I said, like The Big Sick, right? Like, is it a rom-com? Like, there's romance in it, but romance isn't really romance in, like, the stereotypical way isn't the dominant thing there.
Yeah.
So it's nice to see, like, diversity in how romance is displayed. And also just, I feel like Silver Linings Playbook is really good because it's also about two people who really need to, like, better themselves.
Yeah, that's what makes it good.
Yeah, like, that's what makes it good, and I mean, isn't that life? Yeah. like we're all just trying to better ourselves, and it's nice to have somebody to help us along the way and be our little cheerleader, and you be their cheerleader as well. So I think that those are really good ones where, like I said, it's not so much like a damsel in distress type thing, but more like you see a partnership form, you know, and those ones I would say are really good, because you're not expecting to really like the movie,
right?
But then you do. So
And I mean, I feel like this is a genre that has a lot of flaws in it, a lot of flaws within the movies, a lot of flaws within everything about it. What do you think are some common flaws?
Oh, gosh, I would say, like, the biggest flaw that I see in some of these are when basically gender norms are, you know, heavily you know, followed, and when it's like, when the romance is at risk, at the risk of feminism, if that makes sense. So, like, what I mean is, like, when it's not a partnership, right, and then you see the girl, usually it's the girl, you know, just dropping everything just for the guy. And, like, but the sad thing about this flaw is that, like, as I get older, it's reality too. Like, I see a lot of friends, not everyone obviously, but, like, I see a lot of friends doing the same exact thing. So I'm criticizing this in movies, but I also have to recognize that, like, movies and reality feed each other. And so, like, it is also a reflection of reality, and then the reality is also, I don't know, I don't mean to be too meta.
No, I know what I hear you.
Yeah.
But, like, yeah, that's just a societal flaw.
Yeah, exactly. But I don't mean to get too meta. But, yeah, I would say, like, the common flaws are, yeah, when feminism is at risk and you don't see, like, the woman, you know, putting her career and her interests front and center, and just dropping everything for the guy, for example. And to be fair, vice versa, too. Like, I mean, I think we see it more with the women, but the men too. Like, I think it's important to see a partnership on screen, because in today's reality, women and men, and any two people in any relationship, right, have their own goals and their own aspirations, and it's important to support each other along that way. And then I would say another flaw is that probably these movies don't pass the Bechdel test.
What's that?
Isn't that what it's called?
It sounds familiar.
The Bechdel test, or gosh, I'm probably butchering it, but it's that test that basically says, like, does the movie have enough female characters, and do the female characters talk about something other than a guy?
Oh.
And, like, you know, I doubt that most of these movies pass that test. So, like, but that's also, like, the premise of the movie, right? Like, I'm thinking about, like, He's Just Not That Into You, right? Like, this whole, it's a funny movie, don't get me wrong. And I do think that it has some good, like, life lessons in it, in terms of, like, romance and, you know, trying to find your person and, you know, dating and stuff. But the whole movie is premised around this woman who, like, is obsessed with finding a guy. And, like, the good thing is that in the end she realizes, right, like, you know, you have to love yourself. But it takes a long time to get there. So, like, that one definitely doesn't pass the Bechdel test. And then I'm thinking also about movies like, gosh, what was that one on Netflix that, like, everyone was watching with, like, the Asian lead?
Yeah, and To All the Boys I've Loved Before.
Yeah, like, and it's a cute movie, and the second one was just, oh my gosh, like, I couldn't.
It was bad, yeah.
And I think a part of why it was bad is, like, you know, these characters were young, so they're supposed to be, you know, young and, like, kind of naive a little bit. But then it's so hard to watch on the screen because you're just, like, there's no, like, I don't know. I don't know how to describe it. It's just so cringy.
Yeah, it is.
So cringy, and you're watching these characters and you're like, do you have, like, are you going to be honest with your person? Like, if this is supposed to be your person, are you going to be honest with them? And so, yeah, I would say these movies have to have a balance between, like, the character learning and growing from bad experiences, but also, you know, balance that with, let's portray characters who have spines.
Yeah.
And have minds of their own and have careers of their own, and let's help them find a person who is a good match for them and isn't going to change for that person. So, like, that balance is sometimes sacrificed in these movies.
Yeah, but some people don't understand that. So, like, that's why there's movies about it. Especially, yes, the high school ones. Like, I guess that's my flaw, is, like, not like, necessarily the romance is not real. Like, not realistic, I mean, with the high school ones. But, like, the way high school is portrayed in the movies, mm-hmm, is just so, like, I don't even know how to describe it. Like, it's just not even close to how it is at school. And it's, like, I don't know, like, no one's going around, like, I feel like they all emphasize, like, how everyone's in relationships, and they're all, like, holding hands and stuff, and, like, always talking about relationships, and, like, I don't know, that's not how it was in high school. Like, yeah, people were in relationships, but it's not, like, the center of attention, mm-hmm, and I feel like that's what they portray it as, and maybe because it's the plot, like, they have to do that, but I don't know. A lot of the time it's not realistic, and I know it's the point. That's the point, to, like, an extent, because people like to watch stuff that's very imaginative, and, like, that's, like, a whole nother thing, like, a whole nother psychological thing about how people are watching things that they can never experience in their own lives, and, like, whatever. But yeah, that's my, like, flaw, is that the high school stuff, the scene, is not portrayed nearly, like, even still today. Like, sometimes, like, It's pretty good, like, in the more very recent stuff, it's pretty good, but the, like, 2010 stuff was, like, weird, and the early 2000s, maybe it was like that, but I doubt it.
Yeah, like, the high school ones are hard to watch because, like you said, like, I don't know, maybe we were just in our own little bubble, but, like, we were not, like, I have to have a boyfriend in high school, And I feel like everyone in these movies has to have a boyfriend mm-hmm. or a girlfriend or whatever. And I would argue, it's also hard for us to relate to because, like, in our upbringing, like, we were not taught to be, like, overly affectionate, PDA, mm-hmm. you know, especially at that age. So I watch these and I'm just like, what the hell is this? Like, it's so bizarre to watch these babies. I don't know. It's very strange. A very strange feeling to, like, watch these. But you're right, because, like, then it creates, like, an expectation for these young kids. Like, I have to have a boyfriend, or I have to have a girlfriend. And, like, it's hard because, like, the whole high school, like, the high school sweetheart, you know, trope has been around forever. Like, think about Grease. Like, that was, like, high school. Like, it's weird to think about, but that was centered in high school. And I think it can be a little damaging to teach these young kids, like, you know, that these relationships that you form in high school, you know, have to be so attached. Like, you have to be so attached to your person. Instead, you know, it's nice to teach people that, you know, High school is a time, and it's, you know, but you're also going to grow. You're going to grow in college, and you're going to change. And it's important to meet somebody who will grow and change with you. And if they don't, then that's probably not your person. But, like, it's so weird to see the high school rom-coms now, especially now that we're both out of that phase of our lives.
Yeah. What is one movie you've wanted to watch but haven't watched yet?
Well, now I want to watch that one that you talked about.
Before Sunrise?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a trilogy, and I still have to watch the second and third, but the third one.
It's a trilogy?
Yeah, so basically in the movie they decide, I'm not going to spoil it, but they decide to meet more, and they do it, they do the movies based on that. So, like, if they decide in two years we're going to meet here, they'll do it 2 years from now. So
okay.
I haven't seen the other two, but only the first two are on HBO.
Okay. So, like, I was thinking about, you didn't say what movie I, when you said what is one movie you want to watch but haven't yet, I was trying to focus on rom-coms.
Yeah.
And there are still a lot of Audrey Hepburn movies that I haven't watched, like Funny Face and Sabrina.
Mm-hmm.
And those are referenced in Gilmore Girls. So, like, I definitely want to watch those. And I couldn't really think of...
Oh, Casablanca.
I've seen Casablanca, but it was, like, so long ago.
You said Gilmore Girls references, and, like, there are...
A lot.
There are millions, yeah. And I mean, like, actually probably thousands of references that probably went over my head.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember, though, this... Is it... I think it's Casablanca. They talk about it quite a bit, especially, like, in one episode they talk about watching it. Like, specifically head-on, they talk about the movie, and they talk about watching it. And ever since then, like... I mean, it's a classic. I hear it all the time. Casablanca, like, it's referenced in La La Land because they walk by the place where they look out
mm-hmm.
on the balcony. Like, it's a classic, and I've never seen that one, so I guess that stuff. I haven't seen a lot of, to be honest, I haven't seen a lot of rom-coms. I probably missed a bunch, especially, like, the older ones. Like, the Audrey Hepburn ones, I barely have seen those. Probably maybe one, actually. Maybe not even. But, I'm trying to think. I feel like there's a handful of stuff, like, from recent years that, like, were on my list, but, like, not...
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, like, they don't look that great.
Yeah,
I know. I don't know, like, sometimes I'm like, oh, this looks kind of good, and then I'm like, oh, I don't know.
You know what I was thinking of when I was, thinking about this episode is, like, there are a lot of movies that kind of come out, like, around holidays. Like, there's a lot of Christmas and Valentine's Day and New Year's Eve mm-hmm. rom-coms.
Yeah, that's true.
And, like, they're okay, but, like, they're not that... Great, like, there was a Valentine's Day one with, like, Taylor Swift, and, like...
It's called Valentine's Day, I think, or, yeah.
Yeah, and, like, it's cute, but, like, I wouldn't rank it up there with some of our favorites that we're talking about. So, I'm sure that there are a lot of those that I haven't seen. So, yeah.
Yeah, there was like, it's like Valentine's Day, and there's one that's like New Year's Eve or something.
Definitely haven't seen that.
And like, it's the same, it literally, to me, in my mind, it's the same movie, because it's like literally 10 plus big named actors in this one film, and it's just like so messy for no reason. Like, the plot is just basically the fact that they have all these big actors in them, and they have them there for like 5 minutes max each, and like, yeah. I don't know, it's not that great. But a good example, like a good movie that has like a lot of big actors is honestly like Love Actually is actually a pretty good movie. Like,
yeah,
a lot of big name people are in there, even when they were younger, and like they're still acting now. Like, they are all like, it's a good movie. It's a classic movie. Everyone likes to watch that one, especially around this time. Like, I always hear people bring it up. It's never like, it's timeless. Like, everyone always still talks about it.
Yeah, and some people consider that one, like, a Christmas movie.
Yeah.
But then, like you said, it's also, like, a good Valentine's Day movie. Like, that's a really good... Like, so there are... I was thinking about it, and there are a lot of, like, Christmas movies that are kind of like rom-coms. But, like, that... If we're gonna count Love Actually as one of those, like, that's a really exceptional one. And like you said, it's timeless. I think that one was, what, early 2000s or 90s,
yeah, maybe? Definitely. Early 2000s or 90s.
Yeah, so, like, that's a really good one. But, yeah, I've seen that one. Another one that I would rank kind of similar... We're on a tangent, but...
That's okay.
That I would rank similar to Love Actually is Last Holiday.
Oh, that's a Christmas one, right?
Yeah. And The Holiday.
I thought you were talking about The Holiday for a minute. I like The Holiday.
I think they're both good. So Last Holiday is the one with Queen Latifah.
Oh, yeah. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, that one's really good. I think it's super cute. And The Holiday?
Yeah.
Oh, it's so good.
The Holiday is really good. The one with Jack Black. Mm.
Yeah, and like he's
a good actor.
He's good. Yeah. So, yeah, like, I would say, like, those three are really good, like, holiday movies that, like, kind of, you know, are considered rom-coms as well. And I like that crossover. I think it's good.
I know this is not a movie or a TV show or anything like that, but I think it's kind of funny because I watched it a couple months ago, and you watched it with me, but, like, people are just realizing what it is and are watching it, and it's all over, like, social media. But there's this really good comedy special on Netflix, and the comedian's name is Daniel Sloss. Ugh. And there's a part in his show, and it's a two-part special, and in the second part, like halfway through or something, he starts talking about like love and relationships, and basically what my generation, because they always pick up on one thing and they talk about it for 2 weeks, and then everyone watches it, or everyone buys the item that they're talking about, and they sell out everything. It's like one of those things that that people recommend to watch if, like, kind of like Evelyn, what Evelyn was saying earlier about how everyone wants to be in a relationship. Like, basically he says the opposite. Like, he says, like, you shouldn't be in a relationship for these reasons. Like, and he explains that, like, life is like a jigsaw puzzle, and, like, you kind of always just smash a person into, like, the final piece, and you mess up the entire jigsaw, and you, like, mess up your whole life because of it. And he explains, like, all these statistics about how, like, so many people get divorced because they're with someone before 30, and, like, it just, I mean, sorry, this is not a movie, but, like, it's definitely something to watch because I feel like he actually has a good point. And on that same, I guess, wavelength, there's a really funny... he's a director now, but he used to be a comedian. And if you look up on YouTube, this guy's name's Bo Burnham, and you might know him. He directed that really hit movie like a couple years ago called Eighth Grade. Really good movie. And he used to like sing like for fun and do comedy specials, but he does a song about like how you should lower your expectations, and I think it's the funniest thing on earth. So like, I don't know, watching those two things are really fun. And I think it's funny that my generation's bringing that up now. And I know it's not a movie, but I think it's important.
I don't remember that, but I feel like I must have watched that.
You did. You watched it with me.
No, the Bo Burnham thing.
Oh, I've showed it to you.
Yeah. Those are funny.
They're funny. And I just, I don't know, I feel like...
And they're real.
Yeah, sometimes you have to stray away from the really mushy stuff because it's just too mushy. And sometimes it's not realistic. Like,
Yeah.
I mean, serendipity, it thrives off the fact that it's not realistic. Because, yeah. I mean, it isn't. But, like, it's a good movie because it knows what it is. Like, some movies are aware of what they are, and it's definitely self-aware.
Yeah.
That's what makes it good.
I will say, like, kind of along that wavelength is I really appreciate when comedians, whatever, are very realistic about their personal own real-life relationships. So, like, I'm thinking about Dax Shepard and Kristen Bell.
Kristen Bell, yeah.
Like, people like them who, and, like, even Ashton Kutcher and Mila Kunis, right? Like, people, actors and celebrities like them who aren't afraid to say, like, whoa, well, we actually went through a really rough patch and we are getting through it. Or, you know, I think Mila Kunis and Ashton Kutcher, like, I think they got their rings off of, like, Amazon or something. Because they just didn't care. Like, they were just happy to be together. And obviously, it's not the same thing, but it's really refreshing to see celebrities just be very real and honest about their relationships, the good and the bad. And I think it normalizes what normal relationships are like. And it's kind of nice to see that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What do you recommend to people who want to watch more rom-coms? Like, where do they start?
I actually recommend that people start in, like, the 80s, 90s era of, like, Sleepless in Seattle, You've Got Mail, Pretty Woman. Like, I think that those are, like, really fun, easy movies to watch. And they're really good, feel-good movies. And I think they kind of epitomize what a good, like, romantic comedy is.
Mm-hmm.
And I also think that some of these movies are really great to watch with a lot of different people. Like, you know, like, our parents love Pretty Woman.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's nostalgic for them, too. So it's, like, kind of fun to, like, watch with them as well. So I definitely recommend starting there. And kind of staying in that era before you venture off to the newer ones. Like, the newer ones are okay. We've talked about them, but I think it's pretty clear.
They're very different.
They are different. You know, I think it's nice that the older ones are less flashy, less about celebrity, you know,
mm-hmm.
Star power, more about, I mean, now Julia Roberts is very famous, but at the time, was she? I'm not really sure.
It wasn't until Pretty Woman, I think.
I think so, too.
She did a lot of movies before that, I think.
Yeah. So I would definitely say start there and kind of just, you know, revel in, like, the simplicity of it. I think that that's where their value really lies, personally.
Yeah. And kind of just, like, watch a lot of, because we were kind of talking about range. Watch mm-hmm. a lot of things within the range, because, like,
sure.
I didn't bring this up, but I can't believe I didn't bring this up, because I don't classify it as a romantic comedy, but it's, like, a romance, but it's very weird. It's not, like, it's very, there's a lot of action in it, and it's a lot about commentary about, like, social class and stuff, but Heathers is, like, one of my favorite movies of all time, and it's funny, and it's a romance, so I guess it's a romantic comedy, but it's not, like, a gushy one. It's literally, like, they're gonna blow up the whole school kind of thing, like, literally blow up the school, and I love it for multiple reasons, but again, range is important, so literally watch all of the J-Lo movies, but also watch, like, The Princess Diaries, which is, like, I didn't even think about it before you even said it, even though I know it's a romance. Like, things like that, because there's a lot of things within the range that you can watch. Like, 10 Things I Hate About You, like, it's not that gushy. I mean, it is at times, but, like,
mm-hmm.
it's not, like, this girl drops everything for this guy. It's actually the very opposite. And The Princess Bride, the classics and stuff like that. You have to watch those before you die. So
oh my god.
Seriously, you have to watch those good ones. But yeah, so one last question.
Okay.
What is one thing you want to see more of in TV series and film? And it can be about the industry if you would like.
Okay. I would like to see more smart humor, but also movies and shows that, I'm gonna sound so, like, I don't know, cheesy, I guess, but, like, that appeal to everyone. Like, so I just finished Schitt's Creek recently, and, like, it's so good. And I was thinking about it, and, like, there are not a lot of shows like that that are smart and funny, but, like, anyone in the family could watch. Like, it really, and I'm not saying that, I guess it is wholesome at the end, but it's not, like, wholesome, like, throughout the whole series. It's just so good. Like, it's just funny. Like, it's funny, and, you know, it wasn't made with a big budget or anything. Like, I want to see more things like Schitt's Creek.
That's hard.
I bet.
Because, like, it has to be funny, but then it has to be funny for everyone. And then it has to, like, not show too much so, like, everyone can watch it. Like, kind of like The Office, but there's a lot of dark humor in The Office. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know if young people can watch it. A lot of people compare Schitt's Creek to, like, It's Always Sunny. And have you seen that?
No, I've seen episodes here and there, but...
And, like, 30 Rock and stuff, right?
Same thing. I've seen episodes here and there.
Yeah, but, I mean, that's really hard. But that's a good accomplishment. Good for them. That's such a hard thing to do.
I don't know. Like, that... After watching that, I just have so much respect for Dan and Eugene Levy.
They were the creators?
Yeah, like, their father and son. Yeah. And I just think... Yeah, I guess that's a hard ask, but... That's my honest answer, is, like, I would like to see more like that. Because mm-hmm. I feel like they're rare, and they're so good.
When they're done well, they're done well. It's a good thing to watch. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, thanks for joining me on this episode. This was a wide range of topics in this one conversation, but it was entertaining, so, yeah.
Thanks for having me.
All right.
See you later.
Bye, guys.